Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. We are a comedy podcast that focuses on true crime and history, the darker side of history. And we, at times, Brandy, will use foul language.
Yes, you do.
No, I say we, as plural, meaning us.
Oh.
And should that not be your thing, then we would suggest you check out one of the other fine podcasters out there, our friends from Insight. We have our friends from They Walk Among Us. So a lot of good podcasts out there, Canadian true crime podcasts. So check those out if foul language offends you, because those are safe for work podcasts. And Brandy, you would have to describe us as not safe for work.
I would.
Yes. Depending on where you work.
Sure.
If you worked in a brothel, it would be fine.
I don't know.
You think? You think it would be like, it would be questionable even for a brothel?
I think so. Okay. Sometimes. But Chuck's not here, so
yeah,
maybe not.
Maybe not. Because you and I can kind of, you know.
We can hold it together.
Yes. Topic of our podcast today, Brandy, is Broken Dreams, the death of Barbara Payton.
Sounds like the story of my life, actually.
It's a rags to riches to rags. No, story, well, Brandy.
So I have part of that.
to rags.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me introduce my co-host, the very lovely and talented Her Majesty Brandy the Benevolent, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. We're still missing the Colonel, who is
he's in Canada.
He is in the Great White North.
So, for any of our Canadian listeners, if you want to,
we are
keep
sorry.
Him,
yeah, I'm hoping he can't get back through immigration. Actually, I'm hoping that he'll
That'd
be stopped
be sweet.
At the border. Yeah, now is the time to build the wall.
Now's the time.
Yes.
Yes.
But the Colonel is in Canada on vacation. We hope he's having a good time.
He's not.
He is the only, we were just talking about this off the air, the only person I know who is miserable on vacation.
He's not a fan of different.
He's not a fan of change.
Not a fan at all.
Yeah. It was a miracle we got him to go to Indianapolis. You know, he's going to be kicking and screaming to Nashville.
I don't know. He seems okay with it.
All right. We'll see. But for those of you who are listening, we have a meetup coming up in October. Mm-hmm. You know the dates of that, Randy? It's the second weekend of October.
Yeah, it's like the 14th or 9th.
13th through the 15th or something like that. But we'll get you some more
information. We should get that down before we mention it.
Well, we're still in the process of planning, but the dates are solid. So we're looking forward to folks coming to Cincinnati for the meetup, and we're going to try to do some live shows and meet everyone, hang out, and we hope that you will join us. So just stay tuned. We'll be giving further information as it becomes available. Before we get into the death of Barbara Payton, Barbara Payton, by the way, was an actress who lived as I mentioned, a rags to riches to rags kind of life. We're going to talk about her rise to fame, Brandy, and then her tragic decline.
Excellent.
Yes. But before we do, Brandy, you got some Patreon shout-outs for us. We appreciate all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com /historydweebs, where you can give give a little and you can give a lot, or as the Colonel likes to say, just a wee bit. We appreciate all your generous donations, and if you can't afford to give, that's okay too. Just we just ask you continue to listen, because we love all of you just the same.
Yes. Well, that's not true, but okay.
Well, we don't love all of you, but we love most of you.
All right. The same. Yeah. So let's start with Daniel and Kimberly Bassett, Jen Moyer, David Hill, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Lorna Violet, Andrea Odell.
By the way, we're talking about Andrea Odell. Her mother just had a birthday, and I want to see if I can pronounce her name right. Don Motzke. And she, Andrea posted a photo of her and her mom. Her mom just had her 65th birthday. So happy birthday, Don. And I swear to God, she looks like she's in her early 40s.
Yeah, she looks good.
Amazing. So happy birthday, Don. Happy belated birthday. Also, happy belated birthday to Jessica Bishop. I think she just had a birthday this week. So I'm sorry, Brandy, continue.
That's all right. Jana Lynn, Jim Seabright, Michael Deo, Russ Charlotte, Karen Widner, Callie Jones, Joseph Kerr, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Joe Hopkins, Becky Omelet.
That's the Colonel there.
Kara Alden, Cheryl Pierce, Caitlin Campbell, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edrington, who had just that gorgeous little baby.
Beautiful little boy, and congratulations again, Elise. Mm-hmm.
Diane Student, History Goes Bump.
Great podcast, yes. Okay. Great podcast.
Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Alicia, and Chip. Jeff and Don Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodard, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Jennifer Seaman, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, Canadian True Crime, the people there.
Great podcast. Definitely check it out.
Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast.
Our dear friends. And special shout out to Allie. She's having a rough week. We love you, Allie.
Nene, Bridget Bernard, the crew of They Walk Among Us.
Which is a fantastic podcast. And I just want to say, Rosanna, who, you know, works with Benjamin on that podcast, her brother has a podcast called Squirm. Shit is funny, man. It is so fucking funny. So if you have a chance, subscribe to Squirm. It's hilarious.
Let's see. Stacy, Christine Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, and the world's most dangerous canine, Rudy.
Yeah, I want. Did they take Rudy with them?
I'm not sure. Probably.
Yeah, I can't see Chuck going a week without Rudy.
Well, right.
Rudy is probably now wearing a little beret up there in Canada. Do they wear berets in Canada? French Canada.
I don't think so.
Maybe in Montreal.
I don't know.
You don't think so? All right. Well, thank you all for supporting us on Patreon, and keeps the show going. We really appreciate it. And then, as I said, if you would like to contribute to the podcast, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. Okay, Brandy, let's jump right into the story. Want to?
Sure.
Broken Dreams, The Death of Barbara Payton. See, you had like a dramatic title, Brandy.
It's very dramatic.
Yes.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Good. Well, don't fall.
That would be tragic.
Barbara Lee Payton. What? She could have been a serial killer. She had a middle name.
She did.
Yeah. She was an American film actress, best known for her stormy social life, Brandy.
As we all are.
And eventual battles with alcohol and drug addiction. So you can relate to that, I'm sure.
Well, a little bit. Not that much, though.
Okay. Barbara Payton was a B-movie actress. And her short life was subject of numerous books and documentaries, Brandy.
Okay.
Although she found fame, she struggled with addiction and unhealthy relationships.
Well, I have unhealthy relationships, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Mostly with the people in this room.
That would only be me.
Whatever. Read into that what you want.
You
don't know, do you?
No.
Okay.
Although she found fame, I already said that, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
She eventually ended up on the streets, Brandy.
Yes.
And she died at the very young age of 39.
Yes.
Tragic. This is going to be a tragic story. So
I'm ready.
This, you need your Kleenex for this one.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So I know how sensitive you are.
I'm so sensitive. You don't know me. You don't even know me. Jeez.
Brandy, she was born Barbara Lee Redfield on November 16th.
Babs.
No, I don't know. That one called her Babs.
You don't know that.
Every Barbara is not a Babs.
I may call her Babs.
No, you're not calling her Babs.
I'll call her whatever the hell I want.
You will not call her Babs.
You cannot tell me what to do.
Her name was Barbara Lee Redfield when she was born.
Big Red.
Babs. Born on November 16th, Brandy, 1937.
Just before Christmas.
Right before Thanksgiving.
Yes, and before Christmas.
In Cloette, Minnesota. You ever been to Cloette, Minnesota?
Hell no. Sounds colder than hell.
I bet it was.
Sounds colder than shit.
I bet it is.
I am against that.
I wonder if, Jennifer Burdick, I think, is from Minnesota. Jennifer, if you're listening, you know where Cloette is. Let us know. Come on our Facebook page.
Kate lived in Missoula for a little while.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She loves it there.
Well, she might know where it is. Minnesota people have accents. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why. See, I have a hard time when listening when people have accents.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? Why don't you tell me a little more about Babs?
Okay. She was the daughter of Irwin Lee, also known as Flip Redfield.
Flip, and who was his lovely bride?
Well, let's talk about the name Flip. Do you remember Flip Wilson? I wonder if he's still alive.
I don't know.
He's a comedian, a black comedian back in the 60s.
I know who
70s.
He is. I don't think he's still alive. I used to babysit for a kid that was nicknamed Flip.
Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, his nickname was Flip. And he had a brother, and his name was Carrington, which was just a dumbass name. So I called him Paddington all the time because I got confused.
But see, if your name is Carrington, you're going to grow up to wear an ascot.
Well, this kid's nickname was Flip, and Flip was a prick. Flip.
Was this a wealthy family? Because they sound like they're Buffy and Biff type of.
No, I think they thought so.
Oh, okay.
They thought so.
But anyway, you was asking me about Flip's lovely bride.
Yes.
Her name was Mabel Irene Tudall. That was her...
Mabel. Good old Mabel.
Tudall was her maiden name.
Good old Mabel.
Mabel Irene.
Flip Wilson's been dead since 98.
May you rest in peace. R.I.P. Flip.
Thank you for your service.
Was he in the military?
I have no idea.
He probably was because he's probably in it. World War II generation. Anyway, he used to cross dress. Maybe that got him out. Remember, he used to.
Yes.
What was that? What was
vaguely.
What was his catchphrase?
I don't remember.
Oh my God!
I never watched the
show. That's
gonna
drive me.
I knew who he was, but I never watched the show.
It's gonna drive me nuts now.
Well,
he had a catchphrase.
Can we look that up too?
Please. All right. Anyway, let me tell you about.
Tell me about Flip and Mabel.
No, I'm gonna tell you about Barbara.
Babs.
They were Flip and Mabel. Mabel was the daughter of Norwegian immigrants. And so she was born in 1937, but her parents had a son named Frank in 1946. So Barbara had a younger brother. Okay?
Geraldine Jones was...
Yeah, that was his
female
persona.
But what you see is what you
get. Yeah, what you see is what you get.
And the devil made me do it.
Yeah, he coined those phrases. So Wilson. Good guy. Anyway, back to Barbara Payton.
I didn't realize you knew Flip Wilson.
I know. Oh, I know Flip Wilson.
Oh, well. No, you know Flip Johnson. There's the difference.
All right, back to Barbara. At the time, Barbara's father worked in construction, Brandy.
Okay.
And by all accounts, the family lived a fairly normal working class life. Remember, this is early 40s, right?
Minnesota. Far, it's like we're living the same life.
Yes, in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Barbara's father was a hardworking but difficult man, emotionally closed off, Slow talking but quick tempered, Brandy.
So he's Chuck.
I didn't want to say that in his absence, but
so he's Chuck.
Yeah, kind of. Emotionally stunted, right?
Yeah.
Emotionally stunted. All right, our friend Chuck, who's up in Canada somewhere.
Having a miserable time.
Chasing beavers.
Gross. I doubt if he's doing that, Renee's with him.
Barbara's father was a hard-working, difficult man, Brandy.
They'll bite your nipple off.
Beavers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they don't fuck around.
No, they don't. They will bite a nipple clean off.
I wonder how the vagina got the nickname beaver.
Because it ate all the wood.
Oh, that's a good point.
Nuh-uh.
I always learn something when
Thank you, Rachel.
Was that what Rachel said?
It was one of Rachel's jokes.
All right. Thank you, Rachel. His interaction with his children, talking about her father now, Flip. His interaction with his children, Brandy, was minimal.
Minimal?
Minimal.
I see.
What do you think about that?
That's not Chuck, because Chuck is forever on the fucking phone, texting or doing something with his
But parents. Are you opposed to parents' interaction with their children being minimal?
Well, it depends. If you're an asshole, then yeah. I mean, it should be minimal.
What about young Noah?
Well, I'm sure Noah wishes that our interaction was minimal, but no.
All right.
No, it is not.
The child rearing responsibilities was left up to Mabel.
Well, of course it was.
Who occupied herself with homemaking duties and managing the family's difficulties. Now we get into kind of
Mabel
the darkest side.
Mabel was put upon.
The darkest side. Darker side of the family.
Poor Mabel. Yep,
out there on Front Street, all looks all nice. White picket fence.
Well, it's everybody's Facebook life. It's all perfect and pretty, and your kids are always put together.
I get it.
And then what happens when you're not snapping pictures?
Well, Barbara's parents had longstanding problems with alcohol.
There it is.
They would often be drunk by noon each day.
I don't see a problem with that.
Well, I'm not judging. I'm just stating facts.
Well, you sounded a bit judgy.
Besides her parents drinking, Barbara and her younger brother, Frank, had a pretty average childhood. Several of her former neighbors who knew Barbara recall a bright, outgoing, athletic little girl who seemed to derive a great deal of enjoyment, Brandy, from many of Minnesota's wintertime activities like ice skating, skiing, and sledding.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
It was around 1947, Brandy, 2 years after the World War II ended.
The year of our Lord.
Of our Lord. That the family moved to Odessa, Texas.
Well, that's a little bit of a climate change there, don't you think?
Maybe that's why they moved.
Colder than a witch's tit, the hotter than Satan's nuts.
And you can't do a whole lot of ice fishing down there in Odessa.
Well, you cannot.
Anyway. Her parents opened a small restaurant in town that did quite well, Brandy, because Odessa was a booming oil town at the time.
Oh. What was the name of the restaurant?
You know, I think I had it, but I didn't put it in the script.
Was it a Howard Johnson's?
No. Oh. It had some kind of diner, but I forgot to put it in the script because I didn't think it was fucking important.
I'm just painting a picture, Tim.
Reared as a church-going Catholic, Brandy, in a conventional and typical small-town manner, one that practically demanded good behavior and domestic aptitude in all the female family members.
Of course it did.
It was the 1950s, remember. You know,
I 40s, remember. 50s. Yeah, I got it.
All right. This is Leave It to Beaver time.
I got it.
She took an early interest in, Barbara took an early interest in cooking, Brandy, and became quite good at cooking in her preteen years. It was this skill that she kept intact her entire life.
You know what? I don't even let my kids near the stove. I got a kid that's 18, and I don't let him close to the stove because he's an idiot, and he'll leave the stove on.
Well, apparently Barbara's family trusted her. Plus, they were drunk by noon.
Well, that's true. Somebody had to make dinner.
Right. And they had a restaurant, so you know she was familiar with the kitchen. One, she would later end up preparing good gourmet meals, not gourmet, as Chuck would probably pronounce it.
Or you.
Or me. For her various boyfriends, husbands, and male companions. Yeah. She grew up and she had quite, we'll get into this, but she had a lot of love affairs. As she reached her adolescence, Brandy.
Is that another word for she was a bit slutty?
I'm not judging.
As
she reached her adolescence, Brandy, that's when she gets breast.
Yeah.
She began to experience her powerful and seemingly effortless influence on the opposite sex.
The boobs have that effect.
And they really do. Boobs are important. Years later, she would recall an incident that occurred when she was 11 or 12, when a famous actor appeared at a war bond rally near her hometown. Remember when, you know, during the war?
No, I do not remember.
I know you don't remember, but during the Second World War, they was trying to sell war bonds, and these celebrities would go around and have rallies to, people would come out to sell war bonds.
I heard tell of such activity.
Okay, so a star struck.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara claimed she got to see a celebrity only after negotiating with an older boy to get into the auditorium, Brandy.
She flashed him a boobie. What celebrity was it?
I don't know who it was, but the boy who was guarding the door, he wanted to put his hand under her blouse and Copperfield, Brandy, in exchange for a free ticket. But Barbara would not give him his way. Although she did allow him to rest his hand between her legs.
Huh. Okay.
They negotiated.
I see. Okay. Doesn't seem like much. She's not a very good negotiator.
Anyway, she got her way, and she learned a valuable lesson. And that was to bargain for what you want, Brandy. Play the game and play it to win.
Clearly.
So, let a...
As what I do.
You know, you let somebody fill you up, you can, you know, you goes a long way in life.
I don't want people touching my arm. let alone all that craziness for no reason.
The teenage Barbara, soon evolved into a striking 5'4" beauty, Brandy. With long legs like an antelope.
Like an antelope. What about a flamingo?
I mean, if you're 5'4", how long can your legs be?
I don't know.
You know. But anyway, she was described as having legs like an antelope.
Hmm.
In contrast to her innate wholesomeness, Brandy.
Yeah.
She picked up a brazen and tough-talking persona at some point along the way. And was easily seduced by all the male attention she attracted at Odessa High School, or as we used to call it, OHS.
Right.
She later wrote that she lost her virginity, Barbara did, at age 15, Brandy. She lost it to a schoolmate's 45-year-old father, who had sexual relations with her in a dry bathtub in his home while the guest at his surprise birthday party celebrated downstairs.
Really?
Yeah, that's rape. But it, you know, it is what it is. That's what she described. That's how she describes it. They're having a birthday party for this guy. You ever hear a story where the guy was, his secretary was flirting with him, and they went out to lunch to celebrate his birthday, and then she suggested after lunch that they go back to her house.
She's very pretty.
Oh, Barbara, yes.
Yeah.
So they suggest she goes back to her house, so the guy thinks he's going to get lucky with his secretary, and they go out lunch, celebrate his birthday, go back to her house, and she says, I'm going to just go in the other room and get comfortable, so you just relax. So he starts taking off his clothes, gets down to his boxers, and then it was a surprise party, and his family came in to surprise him.
Nice.
Yes. That happens, Brandy.
I bet that didn't go over well.
Well, he had egg on his face.
Boy, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. All right, anyway, back to Barbara. This is ridiculous. Back to Barbara. Yeah, she's very pretty. She's a beautiful woman. She was. Not at the end, not so much.
Yeah.
None of us are at the
end.
Not
now.
Usually most of us at the end, except, right. Yeah.
We're not
very
good.
Few exceptions, right? Anyway, let's see. During her junior year in high school, Brandy, So this guy, I mean, all joking aside, this guy, 45-year-old man, raped her. Essentially, she was only 15 at the time.
Yeah, gross.
During her journey, junior year at Odessa High School, Barbara, then 16, eloped with a local boy, Brandy, William Hodge.
Ugh.
But her parents quickly annulled the marriage.
Yeah.
The following year, 1954, Barbara wore a low-cut dress to a dance at a military base and attracted the attention of a handsome 22-year-old Air Force captain by the name of John Payton. You can probably see where this is going since her name is Barbara Payton.
Sure.
All right. They were married in Monroe, Louisiana, 2 weeks later.
Oh.
They would soon, the young couple, she was 16, he was 22. They would soon move to California, Brandy.
Gross, God.
I know. They were married within, you know, I said 2 weeks. But Barbara had a dream, Brandy. She had a dream to be a movie star. She had that dream since she was a child. So she convinced her new, you know, her newly wedded husband, John, to take her to Hollywood for their honeymoon. Enraptured as he was with his sultry young bride. You like that? You like that? Man, I can't do that. Clara does that with her R's, and it drives me nuts because I can't do it. Payton agreed. He agreed to take her to California. When in Hollywood, she soaked up the town's glamorous ambiance, Brandy.
Ambiance?
Yes.
Okay.
She decided this was the place for her. And amazingly enough, she made contacts during her initial stay there to obtain a screen test with RKO Studios.
Okay.
Not Records, Studios.
Yes.
It didn't lead to much at first, but Barbara got her foot in the door. But then you know what happened, Brandy?
Tell me.
In 1946, Barbara became pregnant.
Oh, that'll screw up your movie career.
The couple moved back to Texas, back to Odessa, so Barbara's mother could help her through the pregnancy. Did your mom help you through your pregnancy?
Sure.
Okay. That's a motherly thing to do.
No. I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot for her to do.
No. She was there for you.
Sure.
Yeah. So was Mabel.
Mabel's a good woman.
Yeah. Maybe if you live with
but
Flip.
But she's only good until noon.
Yeah, until she passes out.
Yeah. She's good until noon. After that,
So you really need to go into labor, like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Early in the day.
If you need something, it needs to be at 8 a.m. or you're fucked. Flip's no help either.
Flip's passed out on the sofa by that time.
Flip's in the yard.
Pissing his pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flip's, yeah.
Anyway, so back home in Texas on March 14th, 1947, Brandy, Barbara gave birth to what would be her only child, a son that she named John Lee. All right. So she's married to John Payton. She's got a son, John Jr., and they're back in Odessa, okay?
JJ.
Yeah, well, JJ, Johnny
Lee. Babs and JJ.
Yeah, she named him Lee using her middle name.
Right.
Yeah. See the whole connection? Life is really just a circle of life.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Shortly after giving birth to John Lee, Barbara ditched her husband, Brandy.
Sure.
Left her baby with her parents.
Yep.
And with a single suitcase, headed back to Hollywood.
She's going to go get her dream on.
Was that like, what was that Poison song where, you know, the...
Oh, Fallen Angel.
Yeah, Fallen Angel. I love that video. I love that song.
It's a shame that I knew that right out of the fucking gate.
You know who likes Poison? Rachel. She likes Poison.
I love Poison.
Yeah, I do too. I like that. I like Poison. I especially like that song. I'm going to listen to it later. I'm gonna download that on iTunes.
You should absolutely jam out to that on the bus.
Like Poison. All right, so she got a job at a car hop, Brandy. As a car hop.
She wear roller skates?
Yes. At Stan's Drive-In on the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Highland Avenue in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
She used her tips to gain entry into
the... She used her what?
Tips.
Oh, tips.
Yeah. Well, probably tits as well.
My bad.
But she used her tips to gain entry into the town's glamorous nightclub scene, Brandy. Or she hoped to make contacts.
All right.
With her sweet but sexy look and her great sense of humor, She quickly, Brandy, became a figure at the Such Plus Sunset Strip hotspots. I've been to Sunset Strip, by the way, and I didn't think it was all that, but yeah, that's me. But anyway, she was dubbed by a local newspaper columnist after a while for her clubbing. You know, she was like a club kid.
Oh, okay.
She was dubbed the Queen of the Nightclubs by a local newspaper, Brandy.
Yes. Well,
I don't know why newspapers would be.
Why would they care?
But I guess it was probably in slow news day. But anyway,
it would have had to have been.
Though untrained in acting, Brandy
never stopped anyone else.
It's like podcasting, right?
You can give any old dickhead a fucking mic and a computer, and they can make this shit.
We're examples of that.
Oh God!
And really? You know who is an example of that?
Chuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Though untrained in acting, Brandy, Barbara nabbed a starlet's contract with Universal Studios in late 1948, and she was able to attain a few bit parts. But the studio dropped her the following summer after word got around that she was having an affair with a married man named...
Hit me.
Bob Hope.
Oh.
She was banging Bob Hope.
Oh.
First of all, who in their right mind would be banging Bob Hope?
Evidently, she would.
I mean, does he do it for you?
No.
No. I mean, he's got a big nose.
He does, and a lot of money.
Yeah. So, I think that was probably in the connections.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She met Bob Hope in March 1949 at a hotel party in Houston, becoming something of a Hope groupie. I didn't know Hope had groupies.
Evidently, he did.
But she became something of a Hope groupie by following him around the country for several weeks when he made personal appearances. So he's got his own little groupies following him around. I'm hoping to have groupies someday.
Someday. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't even get no one on Team Timmy.
Well, you have plenty of people on Team
Timmy. No, I've got Elise, and she just does it because she feels bad for
but
me.
But here's my question for you. If you have groupies, what are you going to do?
Well, we just get together in groups.
Oh,
And talk.
Oh.
But I don't think that, I think they were, her and Bob Hope were doing more than talking.
No, they were doing it.
Yes.
The beast with two
she
backs.
She was getting little Hope.
He was burying Hope.
Yes.
They were doing the beast with two backs. Bumping uglies.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about this conversation anymore, so I'm going to stop.
I mean, can you imagine having Bob Hope on top of you?
Dude, that's like if somebody's banging Vincent Price. Ah, no.
Well, there is some rumors of her and Lon Chaney a little bit later on.
Oh, no.
Remember Bob Hope when he was like 112? I mean, he lived to be like forever. I don't know how he'll. But he was sort of like Dick Clark at the end. He would on shows
where.
There's
nothing you could do, nothing you'd understand. They'd wheel him out, wheel him back.
And he had suspenders on. I swear to God, his waist, his belt line would be like up to his titties.
Well, clearly. Well, who was it? Was it Monica that said his gravestone was just obnoxious?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
It was just,
Monica who...
She visits graves.
It's a famous
people.
Yeah, it's a fascinating hobby. And she was telling us at CrimeCon that she's... seem a lot of famous, and she said, you know, like Frank Sinatra's was like very
plain.
Well, it was very nice, and it was, you know, it wasn't very, you know, over the top. But she said Bob Hope's was really,
it was gaudy,
and I think they charge you to see it.
Yeah, no.
It was real gaudy, but, you know. But anyway, Barbara Payton was banging the Hope man.
Who was he married to at the time? Do we know?
I don't know. I think he was married to the same woman for a lot of years, but I don't know how many marriages he had. I seen him. He was making movies, like, I know he made the big broadcast in 1938, so I don't know how long. I think he was born in England and maybe, but grew up in Cleveland. I think Karen Barnes
That's,
probably.
That is, you know, it's like, they're almost the same place.
Yeah, I think that's true. Karen would probably know. Karen Barnes would probably know. Anyway, her and Hope had this fling. He put her up in an apartment in Hollywood, a little love nest, Brandy.
If you will.
And he purchased all the necessary furnishings.
That's nice.
Yeah, probably went to IKEA.
Well, yeah.
Got her a futon.
That's the best value.
Absolutely.
He might have got her a futon. Or at least a beanbag chair.
Think they had lava lamps back then?
Oh, yeah, they had lava lamps.
The couple's sexual fling, however, Brandy, would last only 6 months.
Oh.
Ending,
jumped the gun a little bit buying her shit. Go ahead.
Yeah. Ending abruptly when Barbara Payton began pressuring Bob Hope for large amounts of money to cover her living expenses. So you can't put the, you can't put the pressure on Bob Hope. He ain't going. He don't play.
He's not standing for it.
So anyway, his advisors, Hope's advisors. I need advisors too, man.
Good Lord.
I need fucking groupies. I need an advisors. I need a life coach. Anyway,
you need far too much.
Hope's advisors reportedly paid Barbara off with a handsome sum, Brandy.
Well, good.
With the stipulation that she keep quiet and disappear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've been in that spot before. Barbara Payton happily bowed out and went on and went through all the cash in a matter of months, Brandy. See, that's the thing. You don't, you know, you always want an annuity, Brandy. Don't fall a fret, one lump sum. You know, Bob Hope comes up. If you're banging Bob Hope, he offers you a one lump sum. Don't take it. Take the annuity because over time, it's going to be worth more to you.
Well, clearly, he was married to Dolores Hope.
Yeah.
Forever, since 1934.
Well, he was banging Barbara on the side, apparently.
Well, he was married to a lady named Grace Louise Troxell.
Mm-hmm.
He married her in 1933, and they divorced in 34.
Yeah.
And then he married Dolores Hope in 1934, and then
I'm just saying this happened in 1949, so.
Well, so he was married to Dolores, which that's
so Bob Hope was whoring around, basically.
Yeah.
So where was he born?
He was born in Kent, England.
Okay.
Eltham? Uh-huh. Eltham, Kent, England.
Okay.
And then he died in Toluca Lake, California.
What about Cleveland? Anything about Cleveland?
There's nothing here about Cleveland.
Nothing growing up in Cleveland?
I have not read the entire article.
I think he grew up in Cleveland.
Wait a minute. At the age four, they moved to Cleveland.
All right. So, as always, I'm right. That's the only point I wanted to make.
Oh, well, I wasn't arguing with you.
He used to own part of the Cleveland Indians, I think.
He owned a small stake in his hometown baseball team, the Cleveland Indians.
Damn, man. I'm Wiki Timmy.
Are you?
Yes.
You're Timmypedia.
Timmypedia. Absolutely. That's right. All right. Anyway, enough of this nonsense, Brandy. Back to the story. So Barbara went back to partying on Sunset Strip after her liaison with Bob Hope.
Babs turned the page.
She turned the page, went to back on Sunset Strip where she was photographed over the next several months dining with billionaire Howard Hughes.
Wow. And he is more than a little nuts.
Yeah. He was a little OCD.
You know what, though? He had enough money. He was eccentric.
Yeah, he was. I don't have enough money to be eccentric.
No, you don't.
You're just
crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, she also had a fling with movie tough guy John Ireland and mobster Mickey Cohen.
Huh.
And so she was, you know, she was hanging out with the big shots.
Spreading her seed.
Well, she was accepting the seeds of others.
She's a little bit of a whore.
let's don't judge her. Barbara Payton was moving fast, Brandy, as she managed a brief affair with actor George Raft. You've heard of him.
I have not.
George Raft, he was a famous actor.
Well, now I'm going to have to look him up.
Okay. And even after she also had an engagement to a high-powered entertainment lawyer named Greg Baltzer.
See, that would have been the guy to get.
Yeah. Behind the scenes kind of guy.
Well, right.
The little girl from Minnesota, Brandy, was now living in the Hollywood fast lane. In addition to the rich and famous, Barbara became acquainted with gangsters and drug dealers, Brandy.
Gangsta.
At 22, she got her first starring role as a doomed nightclub cigarette girl. They don't have cigarette girls anymore. That's what we need. You know, you want to bring back the jobs.
I agree.
You know, don't worry about the coal mines. Bring back the cigarette girls. Cigarette, souvenirs, you know, walk around with that little, you know, thing wrapped around them and selling cigarettes. That was hot.
Well, they have those now. They're just called shot girls.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's true. But, I miss the cigarette girls.
Yeah.
You know what I miss?
No.
You know what? It used to be you go someplace, touristy. They would take your picture and they put it in a little plastic thing, viewer.
Kings Island used to do that.
Yeah. But now with the cell phones, people don't do that anymore.
They do it at, I don't think they put it in the little thing. I think you get a regular size picture because I know they do it at the aquarium.
I want it in the little viewer.
Well, the viewer was the
shit. I had a master viewer when I had a master viewer when I was a kid.
Oh, we've got one at my house now.
They're cool as hell.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, back to the story, Brandy. Don't get me sidetracked.
Okay.
Anyway, she starred in this movie as a doomed cigarette girl and received fairly well reviewed. It was well reviewed. She was also starred in a movie called Trapped with Lloyd Bridges. You've heard of Lloyd Bridges.
I know who Lloyd Bridges is.
Yeah, well.
Did she screw him too?
It is rumored that she had an affair with Lloyd Bridges at the time.
He's
of
He's old.
Well, this was, you know.
Is he dead now?
I don't know. You would have to look that up.
God damn it.
Anyway, so she also had, while having an affair with Lloyd Bridges on the set of Trapped, she found a new boyfriend who was a movie extra, and he was also a part-time drug dealer named Don Cougar.
No, too low. She should not have gone for him.
Well, Don Cougar was a bad influence. He actually beat up her elderly landlady at 3 a.m.
Don Mellencamp?
No.
Oh, he died in 98. Damn it.
What? Who?
Lloyd Bridges.
Yeah. Well, she had this fling with him. And Don, she also had a fling with this ex-movie extra named Don Cougar, who was a part-time...
Don Cougar Mellencamp.
Drug dealer.
Part-time drug dealer, full-time extra?
I guess.
Seems backwards.
Yeah, I don't know what constitutes part-time. Do you have to have 40 hours a week to be full-time? Or is that 30 hours when the health insurance kicks in?
It seems to me like drug dealer is a 24/7 job.
I would think so, too. Anyway, so she's on this movie. She's banging Lloyd Bridges, and then she meets Don Cougar. And Cougar was a bad influence. He beat up her elderly landlady at 3 a.m. in a dispute over amount of money that Barbara owed for rent. With his bullying ways, Brandy.
Oh, jeez.
And his propensity for using strong-arm tactics, Cougar was just one of the many shady characters with whom an excitement-craving Barbara Payton had gravitated to. Okay, so she's getting in with the wrong crowd, Brandy.
Yeah.
You know, you're banging Bob Hope, you're banging Lloyd Bridges, that's okay. But you start banging Don Cougar.
I know. Who can't decide if he's going to go full or part-time with his drug dealing. This is just ridiculous.
Let's see. So they have he beats up her landlady. She testifies in his behalf, and the court doesn't believe her.
There's a good life choice.
And he got sent to prison.
Let me guess, she didn't wait on him.
No, she turned the page rather quickly.
There you go.
He would later be found guilty of murder.
Murder.
Yeah. In a different incident, but not with Barbara, not involving Barbara.
So who did Babs move on to?
Well, she was quickly signed to a contract with Warner Brothers.
Nick Nolte.
Not yet. Give it some time. We're still in the 50s here.
Tom Bosley.
She's signed. Tom Bosley.
Mr. Cunningham.
Well, he's the guy who played...
Mr. Cunningham.
No, he was the guy who played...
Jackie Gleason.
Who's the guy who played Jeb from the Klamaths?
No, I don't remember. I can't think of his name. I know exactly
who he was. He started in vaudeville and stuff. He was the old-time actor.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He was smart, too, evidently.
Yeah, he had a good career. Barbara Payton, anyway, she was signed... In 1950, she was signed to Warner Brothers Studios at $5,000 a week.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, she was a baller, man. That was
baller. It's baller now.
Especially in 1950, 60
Shit,
years ago.
Damn.
And immediately she co-starred with James Cagney in a violent crime comedy called Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye.
A violent crime comedy? Was she banging him too?
There were rumors that she...
Dude. Old girl cannot keep her knees snapped together.
There were rumors that her and James Cagney had an off-screen affair.
Good Lord.
Playing the good girl gone bad.
She doesn't seem to be very picky either. She's going to fuck Tom Bosley here shortly. She's going to fuck Mr. Cunningham.
Please look up Jed. Look up Uncle
while
Jed.
While he's wearing his fez.
Look up Uncle Jed. Jeb or whatever his
was
name.
Was it Uncle Jed? Or was it?
Just Beverly Hillbillies.
Or was it? No. Or was it the cousin guy?
No. He was a dancer and stuff. And
okay. Hold on. Hold, please.
Anyway, let me tell you about her while you're looking it up. She played a good girl gone bad, Brandy.
Yeah.
Through her association with a sadistic gangster played by James Cagney. She ends up killing him in the end, by the way.
His name is Buddy something. What's his
Buddy
name?
Buddy Epson, yes. Yeah. Very good. She doesn't bang Buddy Epson, but she should have. Anyway, this movie with James Cagney would be considered one of her finest screen performances, Brandy.
Oh. Because she had so many. It would be hard to pick one. Uncle Jed, just for
it's
future.
Like choosing between Tom Hanks and Forrest Gump in Philadelphia.
I'm telling you, it's Sophie's choice. Let me tell you something, though. Uncle Jed is also a band at this point.
I did not know that.
Yes, they're on the iTunes.
Right. We're
just
like,
giving a little free promotion to Uncle Jed.
Plugging Uncle Jed.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah.
Please check them out.
Check them out on the iTunes.
Yeah. Barbara acquitted herself so well in the film. This is the one with
acquitted
James.
Acquitted herself?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know what that means.
The studio doubled her salary.
Damn. You know, I got some pretty spectacular titties myself. Maybe I need to head over there.
Well, if you got to, you know, talk to Jack Warner. He's dead, but.
Oh, he is deader than 4 o'clock.
She must have been banging. I don't know if she banged him or not. I don't want to sully her good name.
Yeah.
The studio doubled her weekly salary to $10,000 a week and gave her a featured role in as the conniving, conniving prairie tramp named Flo in the Gary Cooper Technicolor Western Dallas.
First of all, it's a Western.
Yeah.
I don't know where that extra syllable came in.
What about this conniving prairie tramp?
A prairie tramp. Is she fucking Gary Cooper now, too?
Please wait. Let's wait. Be patient.
Jesus Christ. Seriously.
During the filming, Barbara Payton, over the years, it was widely alleged that during the filming of this movie that she had sexual escapades with both Gary Cooper and
Jack Klugman.
His co-star, Steve Cochran, during the making of the film.
Jesus, she really can't. They must have a lot of downtime.
During filming.
She needs to learn to play solitaire or something.
During filming. She was never in her trailer.
Or she was always in her trailer.
During filming, Cooper's co-star, Steve Cochran, whoever that was, used to go behind the Western sets of the Warner Brothers back lot and grab a quickie, Brandy.
Well, and who amongst us has not done that?
And she and Gary Cooper had what might be called a dressing room romance.
Oh.
So they're banging in the dressing room.
I understood.
In the green room or whatever.
The dressing room.
Her reputation was...
sullied.
Her reputation was so solid that at the end of filming, somebody, one of the members of the, the workers there,
yeah,
they raised her bloomers on a flagpole on the lot to signify the end of filming.
Yeah. I can see that. Right. Were they clean bloomers?
I don't know. I can't vouch for that. Sniff them.
Now she can move on to another man.
Barbara Payton followed her small but important role in Dallas with the female lead, Brandy, in a Gregory Peck film.
Oh, not Gregory Peck.
Only the Valiant.
I love Gregory Peck.
Once again.
Oh.
Barbara reportedly had a sexual fling with her leading man during its production.
Damn it. What, does she just walk around naked going, hello, you want some of this?
I don't know, but man, I hope she comes to our next meetup.
Jeez.
That Barbara, that's October 13th or 15th in Cincinnati.
Not Gregory Peck. Damn it. He's in a couple of my favorite movies. Yeah. Damn it.
Well, he was banging the barber.
Well, now he's just sullied.
By this time,
boy, she's got some whore claws, doesn't she? She sinks them in.
By this time, Barbara was being taken around town by a new sugar daddy, Brandy.
There you go, Babs. Who was that? Was that Nick Nolte?
No, this was the classy movie star, Franchot Tone.
The classy movie star? I don't know who he
is. He was distinguished and a wealthy man, 22 years her senior. That means he was older than she was.
Yeah, I got
he
that.
He was the ex-husband of one Joan Crawford.
Oh, so you know he was damaged. You know that motherfucker was damaged as hell.
Anyway, he met Barbara in a nightclub on Sunset Strip, began to immediately woo her.
Yeah, he's just happy nobody's throwing phones and shit at him.
Beating him with clothes hangers.
Right.
He lavished Barbara with daily gifts of champagne, flowers, and expensive jewelry.
And caviar dreams.
I wonder if he got the jewelry on QVC or HSN.
Probably stole it from Joan.
No, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
But she returned the favor by cooking him gourmet meals, remember?
Oh, I bet she returned the favor. I bet she did.
In other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were soon engaged, Brandy.
Of course they were.
Her and Mr. Tone. Distinguished. He was a debonair actor. Mm-hmm. The debonair actor publicly announced plans to purchase a ranch for Barbara in Pinoa, California. And with her, Brandy, her career on the rise, it was clear that the woman whom Warner Brothers Studio had recently named, this is what they called her, quote, the white diamond with blue eyes, unquote. It was clear that Barbara was sitting on top of the world, Brandy.
Or on top of Gary Cooper's face.
Or Tom Bosley.
Or Tom Bosley's face with his little fez on from the Moose Lodge. God damn it.
Happiness, Brandy, would be short-lasting, however.
Well, it usually is.
When things were running too smoothly in Barbara's life,
she found a way to fuck it up.
She had a tendency to undermine herself.
Yes.
This time she did so by sneaking around with a handsome man by the name of Guy Madison.
Guy.
He was a co-star in her latest film.
Of course.
the big budgeted Civil War drama, Drums in the Deep South, Brandy. She's banging it.
Does she get the, you know, the grip?
Do they have any HR policies at all?
Best boy? I mean, my God, there's a ton of people that work on those sets. Did she just, you know, did she just walk out of her trailer and go, hey, you, I know you're the caterer. Why don't you come here for a minute?
Best boy. Anyway.
The key grip? The guy who types in the credits at the end of the fucking film? I mean, Jesus.
Anyway, she has an affair with Guy Madison. And they were he was married at the time.
Of course he was.
But his marriage was in trouble, Brandy. He was married to an alcoholic actress named Gail Russell.
You're going to have to be...
There's a lot of fucking drama.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. They were all married to alcoholic actresses.
He quickly fell under Barbara's irresistible spell.
Her titties hypnotized him.
And began joining her after work for late night dates in her new apartment that was paid by Tone.
I was going to say, where's Tone? Tone Loke is not going to be happy about that.
Yeah, Tone Loke had to use fucking Cole Medina.
Yeah, he did. Love his heart. Going to be fucked over.
You know, Funky, what's the other song he did?
Oh, Jesus, I don't remember.
Wild Thing.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking song.
Well, yeah.
Funky Cole Medina, Wild Thing, is the same fucking song.
Yeah. You're not the first one to put that together, I'm just believe saying. Me.
Anyway.
All right, so she's fucking the caterer.
No, she's fucking Guy Madison, whoever. Who's married to actress.
Doesn't matter what her name is. Could be any of them.
It didn't take long for Tone to learn about all this.
Well, I bet he wasn't happy.
His fiancée's cheating ways.
Well.
And one night, while spying on her, he allegedly caught Barbara Payton in bed with Madison, Guy Madison. He caught him in bed together, Brandy.
Well, can't anybody have any privacy around here?
You know when she's fucking around on you when she's at work.
Yeah, were they in an open field? I mean, did he have to sneak up on him in camo? I don't understand. And let me tell you what else I don't understand.
Yeah.
What? Why all of a sudden is this guy going to think, oh, she'll never cheat on me just because she's fucked every guy in Hollywood? I'm the exception.
I don't want Bob Hope's sloppy seconds.
Boy, no.
Lon Chaney's sloppy seconds.
No, or Tom Bosley's.
Lon Chaney was about 80 years old when she was banging him.
Well.
All right. Anyway, this is ridiculous.
I bet she fucked Hugh Hefner. Oh, I bet she did.
The story spread rapidly, Brandy, through Hollywood, and it was exposed to the public in a steamy article in the magazine Confidential.
Oh,
it was the National Enquirer of its day.
Yes, it was.
So word is on the street Barbara is engaged to Tone, the older debonair man.
Yeah.
Joan Crawford's ex-wife.
Stupid name.
Joan Crawford's ex-husband.
Husband. Yeah.
Yeah. That she's banging Guy Madison.
Now, can you imagine like having Joan Crawford's his ex-wife, like
ex-husband, right?
See what you did there. Joan Crawford is his ex-wife.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so I had it correct the first time. That means so if they had like adopted kids together, anything. I mean, that means that bitch is in your life forever. I mean, that's something to consider. Yeah. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
I watched Feud, and it was a bad scene. It was ugly.
So anyway, word got out on the street.
How did that not get out before?
Confidential magazine.
She's fucking.
Well, it's not really confidential anymore.
Well, she's fucking.
Why do they call it
guy.
Confidential magazine when they're spreading all this gossip about people?
I don't know, but you know, she's fucking the guy that brings her script every morning. So,
despite Brandy her embarrassing indiscretions, Barbara and Tone remained engaged.
Aw.
But
she got the hypnotic boobies.
But Brandy.
Well, but yeah.
Warner Brothers Studios were not amused.
No,
they were not pleased with Barbara's antics.
They will drop her like a hot rock.
And they punished her by tossing her to what was called Poverty Row, which is where they made their low budget movies. So
you're a whore. Now you got to make Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Exactly.
That's what you get, girls and boys.
But Brandy, she landed on a role, believe it or not, in the now famous cult film, Bride of the Gorilla. Do you remember her in that?
Did she fuck the gorilla?
The picture, co-starring... You're going to love this.
Okay.
The film co-starring Raymond Burr.
Yes! Fucking Ironsides. Yeah.
And what was the attorney he played?
He played Ironsides.
Yeah, but he also played
Perry Mason.
Perry Mason, yeah. So, picture co-starring Raymond Burr and an alcoholic wrecked Lon Chaney.
So this clearly, first of all.
That's how it was described in the research, an alcoholic wrecked Lon Chaney.
Here's the thing. First of all, instant classic. Second of all, because it's clear she's going to fuck both of them at some point.
And Lon Chaney's like 90.
Who do you pick first?
It was a typical low-budget film. I didn't know they were, but it was a typical low-budget jungle melodrama.
Oh, yeah, those. Those are a dime a dozen.
Jesus. But Barbara's appearance in it proved memorable, Brandy.
She flash her boobies and hypnotize the audience? Or was she?
First seen as dancing alone under a slow-moving ceiling fan. picture it.
Sicily, 1920. Yeah, I got it.
Her hourglass figure encased in a tight sarong, Brandy. She looked stunning.
Well, clearly she always looks stunning.
During the making of The Bride of the Gorilla, rumors bounced around town.
What?
Rumors.
What rumor was that?
That Barbara was carrying on more sleazy dressing room encounters with Raymond Burr and Lon Chaney.
And you know what's fucked up? That's a B movie. You know they don't have doors on those dressing rooms.
Raymond Burr might have been on his way up, but Lon Chaney, he must have been at the end of
his... You never know. You never know. And you know what the thing is? If she screws him, he might leave her something in his will.
She also, during the making of this movie, not only had affairs with Raymond Burr and Lon Chaney,
right,
but also with supporting actors, an aging alcoholic named Tom Conway.
Sure.
And an ex-actor slash ex-Los Angeles Rams football player named Woody Strode.
Of course it was. Now let me tell you something else. Those B films only film over like 2 weeks. I mean, there's not a lot into them.
Well, she's banged Raymond Burr, Lon Chaney, and these two guys.
How does she even walk upright? I don't get it.
In July 1951, Brandy.
All right.
Franchot Tone, her fiancé.
Is it Franchot or Francois?
It's F-R-A-N-C-H-O-T. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Might be Francois.
All right. And maybe it's Francois. I thought that was like O-I-S-E.
I don't know.
But anyway, Tone. We'll call him Tone.
Tone Loke.
He was in New York City on business. And Barbara was attending a Hollywood pool party.
Of course she was.
At the Sunset Plaza Hotel. And met a young man by the name of Tom Neal, a hard-drinking, unemployed cowboy actor.
Oh, yeah. He's the winner. He's the one you pick up. That's the one right there.
Legend has it, Brandy.
That fucking legend?
That Barbara spotted the 37-year-old Neal. Well, goddamn, he's kind of late in his career to be an aspiring actor, isn't he?
You never know.
And he only played in Westerns. And, isn't that kind of limiting? You only playing in Westerns?
I don't fucking know.
It would be today.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, she spotted the 37-year-old Tom Neal.
And let me guess, her clothes fell off.
On a high diving board, sporting an impressively muscle-billed in a tight pair of bathing briefs. Brandy?
So he had a big dick and she fell for it.
And later uttered a statement to the press that, quote, it was love at first sight. He looked so wonderful in his trunks, unquote.
That's what it is. Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
I knew he was the only man in my life. So
she knew it before she met him.
Yes.
She saw him standing up there like a frat boy in some trunks holding a beer going, hey, guys, watch this.
While her fiancé is in New York City.
Hey, guys, watch this.
I don't think that and whole engagement thing was a deal breaker for her.
Well, clearly.
Anyway.
But he's the one.
She evidently met her new male counterpart that day. And the couple dove headfirst into a lurid affair.
All the while not breaking off her engagement to this Tone guy.
Nope. Half a dozen engagements to both Tone and Neal. So she was engaged to both of them. They kept breaking off. She kept going back to one or the other in a matter of weeks. So the next few weeks, she broke it off with Tone. She went and got engaged to Neal, broke it off with Neal, went back to Tone. So she's ping-ponging here.
Well, you got to go where the money is, and it's clearly not with Cowboy Fred.
Driven by too much booze and an active libido, Brandy. Barbara devoted more and more of her time and energy into pitting her boyfriends against each other.
Well, yeah, that's
you
just,
go with the dude with the money,
fun.
Right?
I would think so.
Hmm. So anyway, she announced plans to marry Tom Neal in Las Vegas on September 14th, 1951. But on the eve of their wedding, Brandy, she dumped him in the for an afternoon.
She met a bartender.
She dumped him for an afternoon in bed with Tone at the Beverly Hills Hotel. So she's going back. She can't make up her mind. It's indecisive.
God.
Upon their return to Barbara's apartment after a night of bar hopping, the triangle finally exploded, Brandy. When an enraged Tom Neal, assaulted Tone on Barbara's patio, leaving the older actor comatose for 18 hours.
Comatose?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Comatose.
What's comatose?
That's when you put a little comma and then you fall asleep.
This.
Anyway, he had a coma. He was in a coma for 18 hours and was hospitalized with severe head injuries. So, you know, this young guy is beating up his old man, basically.
Right.
During the melee, Brandy. During the melee that made international headlines, Barbara sustained a black eye.
Oh, no.
Poor Barbara.
Probably from one of her boobs bouncing up and hitting her in the face.
Well, you know, she shouldn't have got a black eye. We don't condone that.
I didn't say I condoned it. I didn't say she deserved it.
Well, she might have been trying to break it up. Who knows? You know, things happen. Heat of the moment. A series of bizarre news stories followed, Brandy, detailing everything from Barbara Payton's climbing the hospital outside fire escape to visit her battered boyfriend and bringing him shakers of ice-cold martinis to, quote, help soothe his nerves, unquote.
She's fucking him in the hospital. She's Spider-Manning upside the side of the goddamn building to fuck her husband, to fuck this guy in the hospital.
In the conservative 1950s America social culture climate, Brandy, which was was engendered by the McCarthy era and, you know, Leave It to Beaver and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Payton's freewheeling lifestyle shocked America's sensibilities.
So. I'm shocked now.
The press responded by crucifying her. So she's getting a lot of bad press.
I caught that.
Soon after this fight took place, an angry Warner Brothers president, Jack L. Warner, we have to do a podcast on him sometime. That guy lived an interesting life.
He's a dick.
He invoked a moral clause. You remember how they used to have those moral clauses? I think teachers, some of them, we talked about that before, right, with teachers, right? But anyway, they had a moral clause, and he invoked the moral clause and voided Barbara Payton's contract and dropped her from the studio's roster. So,
like, now this was the time?
Yeah, it was the tipping point, I guess. Because I think Tone had, like, a lot of strings. He could put a lot of strings, whatever. But she finally decided to honor her engagement to Mr. Tone. Barbara Payton and Tone, who was still recovering from his injuries, were married on September 28, 1951, in Barbara's hometown of Cloette, Minnesota. So, she go home, they have a wedding. What happens next, Brandy? I'm on the edge of my seat.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, surprisingly, after being married a short time, Tone discovered that Babs had continued her relations with Cowboy Neal.
And she liked that cowboy dick.
Oh, a highly publicized breakup occurred several weeks after the couple had been married. I want to say this means that he wanted to put straw, occurred at the Warwick Hotel in New York City, and it ended disastrously following a fiery argument in which Tone reportedly discovered Babs talking to Neal on the telephone.
She can't give up the cowboy dick.
And responded by throwing Peyton's jewelry box out the 15th floor window of their hotel suite.
You know he didn't. You piss off a woman, you throw her jewelry box out the window.
But you know who was happy?
Who?
The people on the fucking ground. The high-pitched drama continued.
Unless they got hit in the head fight.
Still. The high-pitched drama continued with Peyton swinging the phone at her husband's head, nearly hitting him, and then locking herself in the bedroom where she swallowed a handful of, Secanol.
Man, she's full of drama, wouldn't you say?
Oh, God. Her bungled attempt at suicide was resolved in an extremely messy fashion with an emec. EMETIC?
I guess. Go ahead. Continue. I don't know what
administered by the hotel doctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was the...
They pump her stomach?
Yeah, kind of, okay. Yeah. Whew.
Tone had finally had enough. Jesus, God.
No more.
Yeah.
Fuck this. I'm out of here.
This is it. Whatever. He divorced Peyton in July.
This is the motherfucker who was married to Joan Crawford now.
Right. Yeah.
He can put up with some shit.
Married to her longer. Yeah, this was not a man who was used to having a quiet life. He divorced Peyton in July of 1952.
He must like drama in his life.
Using some sensational photographs taken by a Hollywood private detective to prove his allegations of infidelity. The photos shot through the transom of a Sunset Strip motel room showed Peyton naked but for a black garter belt and beads engaging
hot.
In oral sex with Neil.
Oh, she was giving him a blowy.
Thank you for those of for those of our listeners that didn't catch that.
Well, you know, we have eyebrow listeners, but we got some people you got to kind of break it down. She's sucking dick, basically what we're saying here.
Jesus. Incensed
cowboy dick.
Cowboy dick. Mm-hmm. Incensed and vengeful over this latest betrayal, Tone made dozens of duplicates of the shots and then distributed them around Hollywood in sealed, unmarked envelopes, hoping the sexually explicit images would destroy Babs's chance of any future film work.
Yeah, she's never going to get another job on, you know, she's not going to get hired for Bride as a Gorilla 2.
Well, I don't know.
Return of the Bride of the Gorilla.
The Tone-Peyton divorce trial found Peyton once again being paid off.
Sounds like a bestiality film.
Oh, I know. She was once again being paid off to disappear, much like
What's
she was.
What's your thoughts
in the
on bestiality?
I'm pretty much against it.
Are you?
No, actually, at all times. It's a hard no.
Okay.
It's a hard no.
Okay.
I don't understand furries either, for the record.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't get it. Because it's just hot in those costumes. Yeah. Good God.
And then if you accidentally get some, you know, if you accidentally blow your load on in one of those costumes.
Well,
you
can't, bitch to clean.
You can get it out. Dry cleaning ain't going to help.
Well, dry cleaning might help. My thing is, what if you get some fur pushed up in your vagina?
Yeah.
Let's see. She reportedly received a cash consideration that was satisfactory in the settlement.
All right, so he bought her off.
Yes, and subsequently moved into a beautiful 15-room mansion with servants in Beverly Hills.
That's a good deal.
During that
time, she was only married a couple of weeks, I think, to Tone.
Yes, during that time, the couple capitalized on the notorious press coverage by touring in plays such as The Postman Always Rings Twice, based on the popular 1946 film of the same name.
Yeah, so she can't get in movies now, so she's trying to make she's using her infamy with her boyfriend to try to get work.
They would also star together in The Great Jesse James Raid, a B-movie western, well, who hasn't seen that, that received a limited release to theaters in 1953. In May of 1953, Peyton announced that she and Neil were to be married that summer in Paris.
She's marrying a guy, the cowboy. She's getting the cowboy dick for her good.
The couple canceled their engagement and broke up the following year. That's a clutch the pearls moment. I can't believe that she would break
up. And they said it would never last.
I know. They were right. Let's see. In the wake of her well-publicized split with Neil, Peyton hit the town fast and hard.
Mm.
I bet she did. During this time, she dyed the front half of her platinum blonde hair a flaming red, drew bizarre-looking tattoos on her face, and became a nightly barstool fixture at such top local spots, she seldom went home alone.
Her name was Lola.
Evidently.
She was a showgirl.
Yeah, it was 30 years ago.
When they used to have a show.
Right.
But now it's a disco.
I know, but not for Lola. Uh-huh. With her film career over, the quality of men she attracted became less suitable.
Really?
She went from having affairs with the biggest names in Hollywood to dating small-time gangsters.
All right, so she's in the downside of her career now.
Yeah. We're in the back of that bell curve. Babs' name once again made outrageous front page headlines in May of 1954 when it was alleged that she gave two of her fur coats, valued at over $12,000, to the owner of a downtown Los Angeles tavern in exchange for the dismissal of a $200 bar tab she owned.
Well, that seems fair.
Well, yeah, she is not a very good negotiator. Barbara was falling on hard times.
Aww.
She lost her Beverly Hills mansion under a mountain of unpaid bills and taxes. She was arrested in that October of 1955 for passing bad checks at Hollywood's liquor locker in order to buy booze. Yeah.
She was a regular, I bet.
At the liquor locker. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Aww. Newspapers reported that a messy and double-chinned Peyton was at least 40 pounds overweight and wearing skin-tight black Torador pants and a bulging blouse when she was carted off to the police station to be booked. So she was a 10-pound ham in a 5-pound sack. That's what she was.
She was like she was going to Walmart, dressed like she's going to Walmart.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Once there, she mugged for news photographers, laughing and kidding around as if the arrest were a huge joke to her.
All right. So she's not. The reality of her situation is not, you know, not hit her yet.
She's kind of drunk.
Yeah.
She appeared drugged at her trial and snickered when she was fined $100 and given a 60-day suspended jail sentence for pleading indigence.
Yeah, so she had no money. She just laughed when they fined her because she knew she wasn't going to have anything to pay.
On March 6, 1956, Babs lost custody of her beloved son to her ex-husband, John Payton. When
was the fuck
did she have custody? That's a fucking clutch part of the goddamn story. When the hell did she have custody? I thought
when he was first.
I thought John had him the whole goddamn
time.
Well,
I think she officially, you know, he officially got custody of him.
Okay.
And she didn't have much of a relationship with him.
Well, and he wasn't that beloved because she fucking ditched him for Raymond Burpecker. She was getting some Lon Chaney penis and ditched her kid.
Tom Bosley.
Whatever. Just when it appeared her career and life was over, Babs rallied in 1958.
All right, Babs.
She stopped drinking, lost weight, and at 31, Christ almighty, she was only 31, was looking as glamorous as ever.
All right, she's
Barbara
hot.
Barbara Payton was planning a fairy tale Hollywood comeback.
Good for her.
Hollywood, however, was giving her the big finger.
Nah, baby, nah.
Unable to find, well, because, you know, people got to keep it in their pants. Unable to find work and with her pride shattered, she took a series of low-paying jobs, working as a cocktail waitress
in a small cafe.
In a hotel bar, in a seedy strip joint. Not even a hotel bar. She's in a seedy strip joint.
I would love to own a seedy strip joint.
Then, as a shampoo girl in a West Hollywood beauty shop, even pumping gas for a while on Hollywood Boulevard. Frustrated that she'd been barred from making the comeback she'd hoped for, Payton quickly upped her alcohol intake, because that'll make it better, gained back the weight she'd lost, and watched her beauty disappear.
There you go.
This time for good. By 1960, the 32-year-old Payton found herself hopelessly adrift. In an after-midnight world of... What the fuck?
That was a little dramatic.
In an after-midnight world of seedy dives and backstreet bars.
That's all right.
Wait a minute. Oh, I'm not done painting this shit. Living in filthy, flea-bitten motel rooms overlooking asphalt courtyards in downtown L.A.
Concrete jungle.
With her platinum blonde hair bleached whiter and her lips and fingernails painted the color of blood crimson, a bloated Payton was often seen driving up and down the strip in her rusted red convertible, cruising for dates. And that would be in air quotes, ladies and gentlemen.
Did I paint a picture there or what?
Oh, that was quite the picture. The woman who once
I don't get enough credit for my writing.
You're goddamn Bob Ross. I told you that.
I think I'm Shakespeare.
Well, it's not you're no Tom Bosley.
Charles Dickens.
No. The woman who once earned $10,000 a week as a bona fide Hollywood movie star, couldn't keep her legs closed, was still in Hollywood dispensing crude curbside sex. Her asking price fell from $100 to $50 and finally to $5 a trick in cars parked with their motors running.
She was like giving, you know, drive-in head.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
On February 7th, 1962, Payton was busted for prostitution when she approached an undercover cop at a bar on Sunset Boulevard and invited him to her apartment for sex.
Yeah. Never pick up a cop if you're a whore, prostitute.
Well, those
sex
are,
worker.
Those are words to live by.
Yeah.
Thank you. Reporters from the L.A. Times were waiting to photograph her arrival at the police station, and the rather startling images they caught that night show a life completely out of control. Clad in a secondhand mink coat and with her sad doe eyes resembling those of a hunted animal that had been cornered, Payton appears drawn, distraught, and spaced out. She's only 34, and she resurfaced in the headlines that summer with her complaint that she'd been beaten and raped in a vacant lot by a gang of teenage thugs.
It goes from bad to worse for her, Brandy.
Accompanied by her witness, a middle-aged man in a bolo tie.
And Brandy, have you ever dated a man with a bolo tie?
No, I have not.
Would you ever date a man with a bolo tie?
No, I can't see. I mean, if let's just say, you know, Brad Pitt or whoever wants to put on a bolo tie.
Yeah.
Well, that's different than, you know.
Okay, so
Tom Bosley in a bolo tie.
All right. What happens next?
So let's see. She had this middle-aged guy with her in a bolo tie, whom the police report described as a diaper distributor and companion of the victim. A heavy-set Peyton arrived at the Windsor Hills police station, reeking of booze and wearing only a bathing suit, a sweater, and a pair of gold slippers.
All right.
She was reportedly covered with bruises and human bite marks and was missing several front teeth.
Oh, so she really did get assaulted.
Something happened. Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah.
No arrests were ever made in the attack. The newspapers would only call it a mystery beating. That's nice. That's sensitive.
Yeah.
The next day, her name made the papers again when she was found passed out on a bus stop bench on the Sunset Boulevard.
Barefoot, she went from Sunset Boulevard to Skid Row, Brandy.
Barefoot and in the same white bathing suit, she was, according to news accounts, incoherent and in an agitated state when awakened. Well, who the fuck wants to be woke up?
Right, if you're sleeping on a park bench,
leave the fuck alone.
Exactly.
She was arrested.
Agitated myself.
Yeah. She was arrested for public drunkenness. Incredibly, another arrest followed a week later when she threw a wild afternoon party in her apartment. While naked.
Oh.
And tussled with two police officers when they showed up to investigate.
Well.
She was charged with drunken disorderly conduct and was later released on $21 bail.
Things are not going well now for the very young and vivacious Barbara Payton.
No, they are not.
It's a cautionary tale, Brandy.
Yeah. In keeping with her ongoing flirtation and catastrophe, things got even worse in the fall of 1962. When Peyton was knifed by one of her Johns and received, 38 stitches for the stab wound.
Yeah, she's living a rough life now.
Her new home was the shabby Wilcox Hotel, a monument to ruined lives, an area of town described the seediest spot in the universe. A foreboding and desolate block of burned out and boarded up buildings, it is the same Skid Row section of Hollywood.
Sunset Strip to Skid Row.
Yes. Amazing.
You like my description of her living condition?
I do.
Thank you.
Peyton continued her journey through a kind of twilight world that with each passing day grew ever darker and more surreal. Finding herself firmly entrenched in a boneyard of boulevard psychos and derelicts. Sounds like your dating pool. Barbara watched an endless stream of bodies cut a path to her bed in a gray faceless parade.
Yeah. Gray, now, faceless parade.
Now a human receptacle for the worst kind of sexual acts imaginable. She handled it by drinking nonstop until she was nearly comatose. The nightmare continued when she was picked up for shoplifting an outfit from a clothing store because she didn't, you know, the bathing suit needed washed. And arrested again for prostitution. Then in 1965, 38-year-old Peyton turned a dark corner in her ever-present downward spiral when she was jailed on drug charges.
Just now she's turning that dark corner.
Well, clad only in a man's pajama top, she was seen stumbling down a hallway at the Hollywood Palms Motel and was later busted by an LAPD sheriff's detective when he found drug paraphernalia in her room. Swearing profusely and appearing totally out of it, well, that's how I want to go. Peyton was charged with possession of heroin and a hypodermic syringe.
Yeah. She's got the monkey on her back now, Brandy.
Well, despite the effects of homelessness, drugs, and alcohol, Barbara still dreamed of a comeback.
Perhaps she could land
a spot in a commercial that would lead to bigger and better roles.
Yeah, that's reasonable thinking.
When Peyton was found unconscious in the parking lot of Thrifty's drugstore in February of 1967.
That's not really taking the right step.
Yeah, that's not it.
That's not a step forward anyway.
No. She'd been living on the streets for several months, languishing in the wreckage of her destroyed life.
Aww.
After it was determined by the LAPD that there had been no foul play involved in the incident and that Peyton's bloody face and bruises had resulted from her hitting the pavement beneath the garbage dumpster after an all-night bout of drinking, she was admitted as an indigent to the charity ward at L.A. County General Hospital. Filthy and with her stomach badly distended from her failing liver, she was diagnosed as suffering from chronic alcoholic psychosis, malnutrition, and overexposure to the elephants.
Elephants? Elephants. Well, you know, you can be overexposed to elephants.
Well, yeah, they get pissy.
Yeah.
She probably tried to sleep with one of them. Following her hospitalization, Peyton was taken by a county social worker to a parent's home in the beautiful Mission Hills section of San Diego.
Yeah, because I know this is going to be a good experience, going home to her parents who are drunk by noon.
Well, unfortunately, Flip and Mabel had long battled their own problems with alcohol abuse and thus felt helpless against the sheer magnitude of their daughter's rapidly deteriorating condition. As a result, upon her arrival at their home, Peyton's self-destruction continued unabated. Helped along by her parents' willingness to get drunk with her.
Well, the family that drinks together.
Drinking alone is never good.
No. Although, what's his name drinks alone? I drink alone.
George Thorogood?
Yes. Yeah, he drinks alone. Him and Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
I like that song.
Let's see. While her parents' dubious care and with no restraints in place, her drinking soon accelerated to the point where she was drunk from morning to night.
Sad.
On May 8th, 1967, according to the San Diego...
By the way, one day before my birthday and 2 days before yours.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay.
May 8th, 1967. I'm sorry.
Yes. Continue, Brandon. According to the San Diego coroner's report...
Oh, if the coroner's report...
You're going to have to let me finish.
All right, continue. Barbara, that's a giveaway.
Yeah. Barbara had been sleeping on the living room couch for several hours when she awoke at 1:50 p.m. and complained to her parents she wasn't feeling well. Sensing that there was something terribly wrong going on inside her body, she staggered to the bathroom and was soon heard moaning in absolute agony. Her mother found her slumped over the toilet. Mm-hmm. By the time the ambulance and the San Diego police arrived at the Redfields home, Peyton's long journey had ended violently with her painful death from heart and liver failure. She was just 39 years old. Although she died 6 months shy of her 40th birthday, one officer noted that in death, Barbara Peyton looked like a woman 20 years older than her reported age. Her 20-year-old son, John, whom Peyton had seen infrequently over the years, was serving in the Vietnam War at the time of his mother's death.
Uh-huh.
Her death was tactfully reported in her back page obituary that she had died from natural causes.
Oh. A cautionary tale, Brandy. I said, let this be a cautionary tale for our listeners. Do not sleep with Bob Hope and Raymond Bon Chaney.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be happy.
That's where her life took a left.
Yes. What's your final thoughts, Brandy, on Broken Dreams, the death of Barbara Peyton?
I feel like had she just picked up a new hobby, this could have been a totally different story for her.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad ending, don't you think?
It's a sad ending, but come on. How many times do you get busted for fucking everything on the set before you say, you know what? Maybe I need to buy a vibrator.
Well, yeah. Who are we to judge, really?
Oh, I can tell you who I am to judge.
I would like to, before we go, I would like to give a shout out to a good guy. He's been listening to us a long time. Hiro, he is in Phoenix, Arizona. I had a chat with him last night. He's a longtime listener to our show.
First time caller?
No, well, he posts some on the page, but he's a good guy. We gave him a shout out before, but we screwed up his name. Can you believe that?
I cannot.
But Hiro, thank you for listening. Hiro's a good guy. He's been married 3 years, a lovely wife from Sonora, Mexico. So we talked a little bit about, having relationships with Latinas because of course, lovely Clara is a Latina. So he's a good guy. And thank you, Hiro. Thank you for listening. But we'll give him a shout out when Chuck is back because he wants a shout out from the Colonel. So I'm just doing this.
Whatever. I know.
Brandy, where can people find us?
They can find us on the iTunes.
Yes. You can find us on iTunes. Please leave us a review, if you would. That helps people find us.
You can find us on Facebook.
We have two Facebook pages, one called History Dweebs, where we post some history-related information, and then our very, very entertaining and wacky group where, Brandy, I think you can always find shenanigans going on, and that's our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast. Please join us. A bunch of lovely people there, and there are too many to name, and when Chuck gets back, we'll get back to a shout-out list, but we just want to say to all of our folks on our Facebook group that we love you, and we're looking forward to seeing many of you at the meetup in October here in Cincinnati, second weekend of October. You can also find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1. You can follow Brandy at Brandy Vennay. That's Brandy V-E-N-N-A. And you can follow the Colonel on Twitter at Hawkwaters, or at Hawkwaters. Any other final words, Brandy?
I just want to say that I just saw a post from Chuck that the GoFundMe page hit its goal.
Yes, and this is the GoFundMe page. For those of you who don't know, Chuck unfortunately lost his sister, and her family, her kids, our thoughts are with them. They lost their mother, of course. His sister did not have life insurance, unfortunately, and was not a woman that had a lot of money. Very sweet lady, and so there. They posted a GoFundMe page to help with the incredible expense. It's so expensive.
Yep, and they hit their goal.
Wonderful. So thank all of you for supporting that. We really, really appreciate it. It's very kind of you. Because a lot of their donations come from
our
listeners. So thank you all very, very much.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Love you, Mom.
Bye-bye.